Hi everyone, welcome back to the Internet Report, where we uncover what's working and what's breaking on the internet, and why. On this week's show, we're discussing incidents at Reddit and Microsoft 365, where recurring issues affected customers of both services. We'll also be examining the outage trends as we enter the holiday season. I'm Barry Collins, and I'll be hosting today with the amazing Mike Hicks, Principal Solutions Analyst at Cisco ThousandEyes. As always, we've included chapters in the episode description below, so you can skip ahead to the sections that are most interesting to you. And if you haven't already, we'd love you to take a moment to give us a follow over at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen. Let's get started with that incident at Reddit. Here's Mike to explain what happened.
Reddit experienced a pair of significant outages on consecutive days on November 20th and 21st. The total outage time is around 3 hours. Both these outages were actually linked to their back-end systems. The first incident was reportedly caused by a bug, and this was a software update that sort of blocked a subset of users from accessing the platform. The second outage was attributed to a separate update that Reddit said caused stability problems.
This is one of those cases where an outage reoccurs, presumably because the original flaw in the update wasn't remediated. What can cause that? Picking up the wrong signals from the original outage?
First of all, we've actually got no evidence that these were both the same. But what we do see is, you know, like London buses, these things tend to come along in pairs or threes. What can happen in these situations is, first of all, if there's an issue they can actually fix, so let's say they've done a software update, they can sort of back that out there, and then they've got to go and re-implement that update because they're making the software update for a reason. The other thing that can happen is they actually go in and they make a change to the system. So they actually say, okay, we can see what's going on. We're going to make the fix and sort of fix that problem that caused the issue in the first place. Now, in the case of, I said, where they've actually done the software and they've rolled it back, then they need to re-implement that down the track. Whereas if they've actually done a fix, then again, sometime they've still got to actually go and implement that system. So what we saw here was the first one they said was a software update that sort of blocked a subset of users. Now, we don't know what they actually did to remediate that, but let's say they actually fixed that blockage. We then had a period of time, so it actually is this update block, and then we said that there was a separate update. They may have done an update to fix that first update or fix a problem there, and this caused stability problems. So this then sort of manifests itself in intermittent timeouts. They're trying to get to the back-end platform. So the fact then that this was reoccurring, I said there's nothing specifically to link the two together, except the characteristics were the same, and we knew they made a software update, and then the subsequent change to it again caused these stability issues. Then we had this area of calm, as it were, where it was actually cleared, and then something occurred again. They've actually said then there was a separate update. The fact that we had these similar characteristics does kind of point that we're looking at maybe not specifically the same issue or fix an issue, but we're looking at the same area where the update and the initial update occurred.
When you get recurring problems such as these, people often blame the testing. But is it the case that sometimes errors only become apparent on live servers?
Yeah, very much. I mean, you can go to these extremes where you start to test everything and, you know, going back in time where we had sort of QA testing before we moved to an agile workflow, we'd actually sort of do these huge load tests and you sort of really stress test the system. And these still occur, but you can't necessarily equate for everything that's going to occur within that environment at that moment in time. We talk about this concept of a highly distributed architecture. We have multiple dependencies. We're making changes to small parts of the code without necessarily understanding or knowing rather than understanding the potential impact of this sort of downstream or to other areas from there. So there's only a certain amount of testing you can do. But what you do need to be aware of is that if something goes wrong, how quickly can we understand that we're actually not getting the performance we get there, and sort of understanding that a change has occurred, something's occurred there, because that might have been the cause of it. It might have triggered some latent bug downstream in another component they weren't even touching at that moment in time. So it's understanding everything that sort of goes on together to be able to understand what actions you need to take. Do I roll it back? Do I make the change? Or do I just move to a different system?
Microsoft 365 also suffered from recurring problems on November 25th. Explain what happened with this incident, Mike.
So when we talk about recurring outages, this was outages over a long period of time. So Microsoft actually made a software change and it impacted its Microsoft 365 services. So users experienced these issues accessing Exchange Online and Microsoft Teams and some of the calendar functions itself. So the outage itself sort of began around 2 a.m. UTC on November 25th. The initial problem was sort of intermittent. It was limited to certain regions, but we started to see the users encountering timeout errors, there were resolution failures and they couldn't actually get to the service itself. And then we saw a number of HTTP 503 status codes, so service unavailable. But when we actually started to look at it, you couldn't see anything specifically within the network there. As I say, if you actually looked at it, it was intermittent. It was reasonably low level, impacting sort of small areas. When we talk about this being reoccurring, what happened then was it sort of cleared around 3:05 a.m. UTC, but then reappeared at 7 a.m. And this time it was an increased service unavailability. It started to impact more regions. So we saw this build up and that castellation effect that we've talked about before. We started to see more and more regions and more servers sort of impacted and recovering and coming back. And this instance, where we actually looked at the second outage itself, we started to see an increase in packet loss, but it was observed specifically at Microsoft's edge itself. So we're talking about a global network there, and we started to see it within the edge. So what we're seeing then at that point, coupled that with these sort of 503 errors and these unavailability to sort of reach the backend services, is that we're effectively having traffic die on the edge of the network itself.
You mentioned you saw a rise and then a fall in the number of impacted servers on the second outage. Explain why that's a symptom of a backend request load issue.
When it actually appears, it looks like this castellation effect, so the small up and down. And when we're looking at that, what we're saying is we're seeing number of servers impacted and number of servers recovering, as it were. So, you know, going up and down, all of a sudden I'm saying 10 servers, I'm coming down to 5 servers, for example, and that goes up and down there. Now, if it's some sort of straight outage, so if I have some sort of network issue where somebody cuts through the cable or I have a router go down or I have a load balancer completely fail, in those types of instances, what I actually get is this 100% packet loss. I don't get anything coming back. And I see effectively this sort of build up, this degradation effect, almost like a lights on, lights off. I start to see this huge block of outage across there. When I start to see this up and down, so first of all, we know it's a backend server issue because we're seeing server-side errors. So we're seeing 503s, which tell us that the server is unable to retrieve or the service is unavailable. It can't get that type of information coming from the backend or its backend systems. It can't find the requested information. Again, remember, we're talking about distributed architecture in the backend there as well. But if it's completely failed, i.e. that service, I'm going to one particular dependency within there that was completely down, then I would have a hard down node impacting 8 servers, for example, all the time across there. But when I'm going up and down, it indicates that I can actually, at some point, I can get through. So again, this indicates then I have some sort of backend system that might be associated with load, couple that with the loss as well. So I'm combining multiple signals together. So I'm seeing an increase in loss, which tells me that some packets are dying effectively in some sort of buffers because they can't get to their end destination. And then I'm also seeing this combination of 503s and some of the servers are not being available, which all points to this load type of situation that we're seeing within the backend.
Microsoft explained that the outage was caused by a change that caused an influx of retry requests through rooted servers. Explain why this could impact service availability.
So first of all, 9 a.m. UTC, Microsoft acknowledges the widespread issues. 2 p.m. UTC, they initiate a fix. And this fix involves sort of manual restarts on the affected machines. When they're getting these restarts on the affected machines, what we're then going to start to get is queuing systems or queuing packets or queuing requests when we start to go up there. Now, we actually did that to sort of clear them down because I'd assume something like the buffers are actually full at this moment in time. So if we actually clear those down, we can restart the process and then we can actually get things going from scratch. What I actually found was that this is slower than expected progress for the affected users, that people weren't coming back on time. So then they implemented an optimization to enhance this processing capabilities. Now, this was then we started to see this influx of requests routed through to the servers. So this is this caught into a pint pot where basically sort of overflowing them. And effectively then, this is going back to that castellation effect that we actually saw this coming up, coming down. We're just trying to pour too much data in there and the system itself can't actually process it in the back end. So what you then start to get is sort of 503 service unavailable, 404s, which is not found, those types of things coming across there because the data is actually not there. And again, this sort of indicates all these system problems with the back-end service, this actual communications with it.
And now we round up some of the other incidents that Mike has monitored over the past few weeks. Cloud service provider DigitalOcean experienced an outage on November the 27th. What did you see here, Mike?
So customers who had services in DigitalOcean's SFO3 region experienced connectivity issues. According to DigitalOcean's official status notification, the issue started around 10:02 UTC. Now, we actually started to see loss rates reported around 10:25 UTC, and is indicating connectivity problems for DigitalOcean's resources, specifically in Santa Clara area in California there. Customers would have faced a complete service unavailability if they had their systems hosted within this environment. The fact we actually saw 100% packet loss, this sort of suggests this network issue. DigitalOcean confirmed that the affected users would have had connectivity issues, latencies and timeouts trying to see that. Again, not necessarily linked together, but the outage did coincide with some network maintenance in the SFO3 region. There's no direct link that we can actually establish there, but this actually followed maintenance that had been aborted on November the 13th. As we said before, there's not necessarily anything to link them together, but as work was being done, a scheduled announcement on there, and then sort of later down the track, we sort of see this outage occurring.
Payments provider Worldline experienced issues as a consequence of Gasworks. What happened with this one, Mike?
According to Worldline, they experienced perturbations in its payment system. I actually went away and looked that up. So it's actually a change in a system or a service itself. So something's actually sort of changed that they weren't aware of there. This occurred on November 28th, and it sort of mainly affected the Italian customers or Italians there. Apparently, the connection issues arose due to civil works, as you say, sort of damaged cables linked to Worldline's data centers themselves. It was actually reported that a local gas pipe installation work had severely impacted their network. They did identify some workarounds while they waited for the infrastructure to repairs, but the unfortunate timing of this coincided with a major retail being the Black Friday sales that was going on at that moment in time. This gas pipe was coming into a specific data center itself. Now, normally what you have is you have these diverse routing, you have different sort of paths coming in there. But obviously, when you get into a particular location, there's only sort of so many ways you can actually access something from the street. So quite often when you're dealing with pits and pipes from these areas, we do have some sort of common aggregating area. Again, I don't know specifically if that's what happened here, but just something to consider when we do have these sort of data centers coming in. And this is sometimes where you'll see some of these backup systems where they'll have a complete alternate. They will have the cable systems coming in, but again, we may cross the same street. We may come into the same pit and pipe complex when we're actually getting into the building. So what they'll then look to do is they'll have alternate methods where they'll have maybe a satellite service or utilize a 5G just to give them their own system. And in some cases, they'll even run sort of dark fiber, their own dark fiber, which they'll actually run to an alternate building. So like a disaster recovery site.
Before we wrap up this week's show, let's take a look at the overall outage trends. What do the figures reveal this time, Mike, starting from the week commencing November the 18th?
The global outages saw a downward trend with a slight 2% decrease in the first week, where they dropped from 250 to 245. But there was significant reduction in outages the following week, where we saw a 47% decrease, where numbers dropped from 245 to 130. We look at the US, the outages decreased initially by 16% during the same time frame, and halved the following week, where they dropped from 135 to 67. So from November the 18th to December the 1st, there was 54% of all network outages occurred in the US. Now, this is down from the previous period, where it's 64%, but it's still the second largest figure we've seen for this year. Now, we typically see the number of US attributed outages sitting at least 40%. So to have two consecutive periods of 64, then 54, is actually quite interesting to see what happens there. Then if we actually look at what happened from an October to November perspective, November recorded 840 global outages, which is a 6% increase from October's, which was 792. Again, if we actually look at the US outages, they actually rose by 8%, increasing from 333 in October to 501 in November. This is actually different to what we actually usually see, where we sort of see a trend of decreasing between October and November. We can actually attribute some of those to a number of outages that we saw, some sort of localized outages increasing there. But it is interesting to see this trend that sort of changed where we've had this quiet period and then sort of see it coming out. It'd be interesting to see what that turns into December timeframe.
And you mentioned that sharp decrease in the late part of November, which obviously coincides with the Thanksgiving period in the United States. Are you expecting to see the figures ramp up as we come back into December?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see this ramp up as it comes out. As you say, it goes very quiet on the network. And when we talk about it going quiet, obviously you can't equate for an outage isn't going to happen. There's lots of automated processes in there. But what we see is a reduction in potential scheduled maintenance or work that may actually sort of cause damage. And this then accounts for that number. But yeah, I expect us to see this coming up as we sort of come out of this week. And then we'll see that rise as we go into December, I expect. And then again, as we get towards the end of December, to again towards the holiday period, I expect it to sort of tail off a little bit.
And that's our show. Please give us a follow and leave us a review on your favourite podcast platform. We really appreciate it. And not only does that ensure you're in the know when a new episode's published, it also helps us to shape the show for you. You can follow us on LinkedIn or X at Fowls and Eyes, or you can send us questions or feedback to internetreport@fowlsandeyes.com. Until next time, goodbye.